Hi guys, welcome to our new show IPL on Pod. As the name suggests, it is going to be everything about IPL. We will be coming to you every Monday with a wrap of the last week's action. But it's not going to be just a wrap, it will also have insights, analysis, and we will also look forward to next week's schedule. This podcast will be available on Audio Boom and subsequently on Google Podcast and Spotify. So today I am joined by my colleagues Shantanu Srivastava and Shubham Pandey. So welcome to the show, guys.
Hi everyone.
Thanks.
Hi Shantanu.
Hey Shubham.
And before we get to any other topic, we have to talk about the game that just got over. I mean, what an amazing game it was. IPL is made for such games. I mean, RR, Rajasthan Royals beating Kings XI Punjab in a game where they had to chase target of 224. At a certain point of time, it looked like they won't be able to chase it. I mean, they were at 140 in 15th over and they still had 84 to make from the last five overs. But what an innings by Tevati, and that especially making a comeback while playing there. I mean, he got stuck somewhere in the middle, and then all those sixes and those five sixes, especially in that Sheldon quarter over. So a great match. I mean, this is what IPL is made of, as I said. So I will be bringing in Shantanu here. And Shantanu, what would you like to say about the Tevatiya's inning? I mean, crazy match, isn't it?
Absolutely. And like you rightly said, that this is what IPL is meant for. And IPL gods must be really happy this thing happened in Sharjah. And finally, we had a high scoring 200 plus match where, you know, both teams went for it. I know we had one game where CSK lost by 16 runs, but the match was done and dusted lot before the last over. But this one, Tevatiya and Robin Uthappa and Sanju Samson, Steve Smith, all these guys were kept the chasing team in the hunt all through. And you asked about Tevatiya's innings. Wow, it was, it was an innings of two halves, I would say. First 20 balls yielded 14 runs. Next 11 balls, about 40 runs. So 39 to be precise. So you don't get to see, these are once in a lifetime kind of innings. Five sixes from that Cottrell over that turned the game. You can't ask for more. This is pure entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to just recap the game for people who are listening to our podcast, I mean, Mayank Agarwal made 106 of 50 balls, and Kings XI Punjab posted 223. There was a target of 224. Rajasthan Royals started very well. Steve Smith 50 of 27. Sanju Samson 85 of 42. But then they decided to bring in Tevatiya ahead of Uthappa and Riyan Parag, and Tevatiya got stuck in the middle. He made 5 from 10. 17 from 23, like that, and eventually he started scoring runs and then hit Cottrell for 5 sixes in an over, which he got Rajasthan Royals 30 runs, and eventually Rajasthan Royals won with 3 balls to spare. So an incredible match. This is where I will bring in Shubham. I mean, just to talk about other performances. I mean, Tevatiya. I mean, even though he scored only 53 while Mayank Agarwal made a century and Sanju Samson made 85, I mean, now everything looks about Tevatiya. But just to bring the focus back on how Mayank Agarwal batted and how Sanju Samson batted, the high-scoring match, I mean, what would you like to say about those two performances?
I mean, when they were like, they had reached 100 under 9 overs, you know, when Punjab were batting. And you were like, this is going to 220 odd. And, you know, irrespective of the fact that these are short boundaries, chasing 220 odd is also always going to be difficult. So, Kings XI Punjab had the edge today. And the way they played, you know, we speak about this importance of opening pair, that you have to come, you know, KKR has Narayan. I was of the opinion that Gale should be opening because of the power hitting. But, you know, here you have two batsmen who are playing traditional cricketing shots and playing in the V, playing superbly straight down the ground, hitting over long on. You know, you don't see when Rahul and Mayank bat, you know, those ugly cricketing shots, or sometimes Rahul goes for those ugly reverse sweeps for sure. But I mean, you just didn't see, I mean, especially Mayank, he really did most of the hitting, because Rahul scoring 54 balls, he was more of an anchor here. But it was a beautiful inning, and then Puran and in the end, you know, coming and finishing off with those towering sixes. It was pretty much done. And the way Rajasthan started off with Butler gone, I felt that they needed a good start. And I felt the role that Steve Smith played in this match would be played by Butler, but I was wrong. Steve Smith really played beautifully, leading from the front. And of course, I mean, Sanju Samson, we can't just not talk about him. He has spoken about how he has prepared himself for the IPL, and it was there to be seen. 85 or 42 balls, 7 sixes. His sixes tally is always more than the fours. So it just tells you that he is one of the best T20 batsmen that we have in this country. Unfortunately, he doesn't get a national call-up. Often he doesn't feature in the team. But again, the match started off with two players playing traditional cricket shots, but it ended with those slogs from Tivatiya and Archer. And it just shows you the skill set that players have, and it doesn't really have to be played in one way or just one particular way. Everybody comes. But I have to mention that Tivatiya did play did come back brilliantly, but Cottrell and Shami bowled poorly. Bowling in the arc, ball by ball. I think Cottrell he had a brain fit with those logs that Tivatiya had. I think he was sent in for that purpose only, but it didn't come off against spinners, because he wasn't able to connect. Bishnoi was bowling outside the off stump. He was not able to reach out to the ball and connect. But once he got the pace on the ball and he started swinging, he just got back his confidence, and it did so well for him that everything was getting connected, and Cottrell had no answer to it. And in the next over also, Shami again bowling length, and Archer. I mean, the kind of requirement that was there. And Shami has bowled, better than this in the death. But again, I think great knock, great match. But yeah, I mean, Punjab would be really hurting right now.
Yeah. Shantanu, we saw one more game in Sharjah before, and that was also a game where both teams scored over 200. At least CSK scored 200, and Rajasthan Royals, who won that match, they scored 216 or 217. And today again, almost 450 runs were scored. So we know, and Sharjah is a small ground, so we know a lot of runs are going to be scored at Sharjah. But if you look at a point, especially for a team which is batting first, Kings XI Punjab, they did almost everything perfect when they were batting. They scored 223 runs. That's not less. So if you are batting first, what sort of target, is a pass score here, and is there anything that the bowlers can do to defend a target if it is not par and still, let's say, it is in 200s and not less than 200?
I think of course the size of the ground and the pitches have a lot to do about it, but not very pleased with the lengths that likes of Karan and Ratkart they bowled, even Gopal the leggy. It's quite similar to what Kings XI bowlers did in the death. Always bowling in the arc, giving the batsmen the freedom to go ahead with their shots. And it helps that players like Mayank and KL Rahul are so good down the ground. So you talk about the safe total in Sharjah. I'm not too sure. The better strategy here appears to be batting second. We saw that in the CSK game also. They came very close, despite not scoring in the middle overs. But with other venues, I would like to reserve my opinion. A lot of captains have opted to bat second in this IPL, and not many have won games. I guess they are overestimating the due factor sometimes, and sometimes they are not sure. I'm just not sure. I'm very confused. How can captains after captains opt to bat second and keep losing games?
Yeah.
If I may intervene here... I think at Sharjah, you have to... I think Steve Smith was spot on with his decision. I think you have to... Small grounds, you chase. Because, it's pretty much like Chinnaswamy. You can't defend on smaller grounds. And the one factor that came in was... I think KL Rahul's defensive captaincy, like when he's defending the totals, is still exposed. He's not a... He's leading when he's chasing. But when it comes to taking key decisions, I think he's lagging behind also. So defending those totals on shorter grounds was always going to be tough for Punjab. I think that also played its part. And also chasing for RR was a better option here. Knowing the shorter boundaries and how the match quickly just goes from the grip of your hand. So I think that we saw today.
Yeah, so this toss thing is actually becoming quite a hot topic in this IPL. क्योंकि अभी तक हमने देखा है कि ज्यादातर टीमें chase करना पसंद कर रही है. But if I'm not wrong, most of the teams that have won are the teams that have batted first in their matches. I mean, I think so far only three teams. Yeah, so three matches have been won by team chasing. So it's a thing which is becoming a hot topic because Sunrisers Hyderabad on Saturday became the first team, I mean, in this edition, to elect to bat first. But when they did that, they ended up making only 143, and then they lost. I mean, it was an embarrassing defeat, to say the least. So what should we do? Should captains be batting first? And because teams which are losing the toss, they are ending up winning the matches. The thing, especially in India, especially it is preferred that they bat second because there is a lot of dew. In UAE, we have seen that so far dew hasn't really played that much of a role. I mean, Zahir Khan also recently spoke about how dew hasn't really played that much of a role. But historically, we have seen in T20 cricket, teams prefer to chase. But then you can always make a good total. And when batting isn't going to become that easy under the lights, then you can put the pressure by making a big total, as we have seen in the cases when team have won without winning the toss. So this is becoming pretty interesting here. So I will try to bring in Shubham here, because Shubham spoke about how in Sharjah it is better to chase. But what about the other two grounds, which are much bigger, Abu Dhabi and Dubai? Would you still say the same for them, or would you think a better strategy there would be to bat first if you win the toss?
You know, in the last match, I saw one stat which says that I don't really remember exactly, but most teams in throughout IPL, all the 12 editions, they have opted to field first, because that has been a trend in IPL. I think they're not changing it in this edition also. What we have seen in the last 4 or 5 games is that the teams who have chased and who have failed to chase, they have chased it poorly. Poor tactics in chasing, whether it is CSK or KKR or RCB, you know, their plans have failed. But the reason behind it is still the same, that chasing is a more safer option in T20s, especially on the shorter grounds. I can't really say about in Dubai, or Dubai is a big ground. Whether chasing there is a safer option or not, but I think the teams are only following that trend. And we don't know. I mean, the last two games we have seen KKR and now RR chasing pretty decently. So it may again go back to, you know, teams may again think that chasing is still a good option. So let's go ahead with it. I feel the last 4 games chasing was not done, in the way that it should have been done. But I think in these two matches, the teams will gain the confidence back that, yeah, I mean, we can still chase.
Yeah, Shantanu, do you differ with that view?
I would like to agree, because as we go along in October, dew will start to play some role in September. Yeah. The matches that we had, the conditions are still dry, the dew isn't much. And like Shubham said, it is also the fact that teams are not chasing well. And the captains who are the chasing captains, they are, I guess sometimes they are too hung up with this right-left combination. And they send people who are not equipped to play middle overs. So even in today's match, though the chasing team won, and it's a miracle that they won from the situation they were in. But sending Tivatia at that stage, when you had Robin Uthappa in the bank, I mean, this is a fad that seems to have caught up with almost every team. They are still, in the 90s, we used to have these matches where pinch hitters were sent up the order. So we see that kind of a trend in T20s here in this IPL. And I don't know why. So when these, quote-unquote pinch hitters, they don't get going, it just builds the pressure on your chase, and then you have the scorecard pressure as well. So yes, it's a combination of one-dimensional captaincy. You know, captains in India over the years have preferred to chase in IPL because of the time of the year, the games are played, the heat, humidity, everything else, the size of the grounds. You know, we must remember that the size of the Sharjah ground is almost, you know, is almost the size of all the Indian grounds here. So maybe Kotla and Chinnaswamy could still be, you know, slightly smaller than the Sharjah ground. So I mean, it's a combination of all of these. So yeah, I would like to agree with what Shubham said.
Yeah. I am of a different point of view here, and it's basically because of how I like my cricket. Maybe let's say I feel that you should bat first always if you can, and especially when the pitch is not going to change much in the second innings, and if you put up a strong total, I think you're always ahead of the opposition. But as we have seen in IPL and in T20 cricket historically, they like to chase even if it doesn't work, as we have seen so far in the IPL. So maybe it will continue to be like that. But let's move over to our second topic, and our second topic is the so-called biggest name in IPL, that is CSK and MS Dhoni. I mean, CSK now are 3 matches old in this IPL, and they won the first game. That was the opener, in fact, against the defending champions Mumbai Indians, and it was, let's say, was called sort of an upset, because Mumbai Indians, defending champions, most balanced side, and then they lost to a side which is currently without Ambati Raidu and Harbhajan Singh. Suresh Raina and Harbhajan Singh. Ambati Raidu obviously played that brilliant innings in that first match. But from there on, it hasn't really been great for CSK anymore. They have lost 2 matches, one to Rajasthan Royals and one to Delhi Capitals. And in both the matches, I mean, let's forget their bowling, I mean, which has not been very good, but it hasn't really been very bad also, because other teams have also got hit for runs. What they have not been able to do is that they are completely look out of idea with their batting lineup. I mean, because their openers are not firing, who should be batting where? I mean, MS Dhoni is coming at number 7, number 6. They look like a mess right now. So what I would want to know here from Shantanu is that they're already, I mean, we also carried on first post a piece about how they need to bring in changes. So what exactly are the changes that they can look at? I mean, what do you think they definitely need to they have a small gap here right now. I think still 5 days or 4 days to go for the next match. So what should they do to get back to winning ways before that SRH game approaches on Friday?
I think they must hope that Raidu gets fit firstly, and then see if Raina can come back. Well, on a more serious note, I would say they need to get their top order sorted. Both Watson and Vijay look out of sort, more so Vijay. Watson, we know he's never been a very consistent performer. He picks pace as the league goes on. But I'm quite amazed with the approach Vijay has taken in all these matches. I mean, if you go back to 2012, 13, 2010, 11, that kind of period when Vijay used to be part of Indian team also, it was around that phase that he hit a century in IPL, and he was regarded as one of those players who could play both, all 3 formats. Now to see him fail like this, and it's a pain, you know, to see him struggle. So that's the top order. And then, likes of Jadhav, Dhoni, I think it's a collective loss of form for their batting unit. I really don't know if they have reserves to replace these guys. But see, they say your biggest strength is your biggest weakness. So their biggest strength has always been their experience, especially over the past 2 years. And now the same players are letting them down. And let's not forget the batting order that the team comes up with. I don't get the logic of Dhoni batting so deep down. In one of his post-match chats, he said that he has not got enough time. He has been in away from action, so he hasn't got enough practice and so on. That's the case with everybody. And the only way to get match practice is to play a match.
And to come in last 4-5 overs, I mean, he would be the first one to realize that he doesn't have that game now to hit from the first ball. That has been the case for about 7-8 years now. So, I mean, as they say, your best batsmen bat up the order, and Dhoni batting so deep down. And then secondly, his captaincy. Sometimes when they bowl, I feel that they don't have a plan B when their bowlers get hit, which is very unlike Dhoni. He always comes up with something. But the rustiness of his batting seems to have crept in his captaincy also.
Yeah. So this talking about the plan, the lack of plan B and all that. So what I have felt is that obviously not having Harbhajan Singh there also has handicapped him in some way. So what I think is that probably they should now definitely bring in Tahir in some way. Matlab should create some space for Tahir because he's a proven player in this format. And they have Deepak Chahar struggling because he's not getting that shape on the ball. So he's not taking wickets. And then everybody else...
Piyush Sharma is going for runs.
Yeah. And Ravindra Jadeja, I think, has not taken any wickets and is consistently leaking at the economy rate of 10. So they have a lot of problem out there on the bowling also. So Shubham, if I talk to you, I mean if I ask you, if they do decide to bring in Tahir, how can they bring in and what exactly should they change in the other lineup so that they can have a balanced squad? Listen,
honestly, I don't really see Tahir coming in because if you look at the squad, who do you drop? I mean, Sam Curran is the best overseas player right now. Hazelwood did pretty well. If you are dropping Hazelwood, you won't bring in Tahir. You will bring in Angidi only. And Watson, you have to stick with him because the thing is, they don't have openers. Even if you can't even drop Vijay. The only way you can drop Vijay is you get Gaikwad opening, which I'm not sure if it's a great idea. You have to stick with the... So I don't see how Tahir can come. Also, I'm going to back Chawla here. I think he's a very good T20 bowler. So I think they're going to stick with him. He had two really rough games, but I think he's a good bowler. I think he should be. Plus, he's an Indian bowler, so you know that maintains a balance in the side. So I'm not sure how Tahir could come in here, but yeah, some experiments again. I mean, Dhoni is known for experiments in this IPL, so he may like to do it. But I mean, it's not the bowling, to be honest, which is at fault here. I mean, yeah, I know Jadeja and Chawla are not bowling that well. They're going for runs. But the major worry for CSK is their batting. And, you know, with Raidu not being there in the last two matches, it just... they were clueless in the chase last time around. They just didn't know. I don't know. The one player that they absolutely need to drop is Kedar Jadhav. I don't know what he's doing in the team, honestly. Disrespect towards him, but Kedar Jadhav ne jo last match mein kiya, that is, I believe at his age, it is best. I don't think so. He could do any better than that on those tracks in UAE where ball is not coming on his bat that well. I think when you need muscle, you need some player to clear boundary, hit those long sixes, and he was not the batsman for that scenario. So I think they need to get rid of him, bring in Raidu. I think Raidu is fit. Dhoni told us the last time in the post-match talk. Faf at four. You have to stick with Vijay and Watson at opening. Back them. Maybe someday they will fire. And Dhoni has to come at five. I mean, there is no chance he's batting at seven. In IPL, he's too good a player to batting at seven. Even if he's rusty, he has to come and play some balls, get in. He's been that kind of player for a very long time where he needs balls to, 10, 12 balls. He will be like 8 of 12 and then you will see in 29 ball, he has hit a 58 run knock. So he's that sort of a player and I think he needs to come at five. And that's how you'll have this, even if one of the openers are failing, you'll have Raidu in form, Faf in form, and if Dhoni gets in, spend some time, he's still there. Even if he's reeling at 12 runs or 14, he's still there. You know that there is this 1-6 coming off his bat, and then you are just then you can have Gaikwad, Jadeja, Curran coming in. So I think that's how they are going to go in, because if you actually look at their squad, I don't see great replacements over there.
Yeah, please.
See, with Dhoni, I completely agree that he can't bat any lower than number 5. Because
see, over the years we have seen that Dhoni would invariably target the fifth or the sixth bowler. He would not go after the first or the second choice bowlers of the opposition. So and when do these fifth and sixth choice bowlers bowl? They bowl in the middle overs, and in the death, the teams bring back their the top bowlers. So in any case, he is not the one who really goes after bowler number one or two. So it just defies sense. And then, like Shubham said, and we have all seen it over the years, he's not somebody who hits from first ball now. He needs 10, 12 balls to get going. And we saw him, and everybody was raving about his last over sixes in that match where they scored 200. But, had he come in earlier, and then, yes, there is that strategic thing where people say that he's not very good against left-arm spin, so he keeps demoting himself. That is not how champions play. I mean, he's very good at rotating strikes. He has played enough left-arm spinners. If he can't hit sixes, he can still rotate strike and get into the groove before the lesser bowlers come in. So, I guess he needs to move up the order.
And I think I should also mention one thing. I think CSK needs to, up their game in terms of, change their plans in terms of how they chase. Because I don't think so. Taking it to the last over has to be romanticized here. You cannot chase a target with no power hitters, absolutely no power hitters today. I mean, if Karan is your power hitter, then I don't know. You can't chase 11 RPO in the last four overs, 11 or 12 run per over target, with that strategy. You have to keep moving. Kedar Jadhav and both, I mean, Faf also took some time. They were soaking out, and they were like taking so many balls to settle in, and I think that really derailed the chase over there in the last game. I think they need to change their chasing strategy, take some cue from RR and KKR in the previous game, just keep the strike going. Shubman Gill in the last game just kept on rotating the strike, even if it was not firing all guns on each and every ball. So I think that's something that. Because you are not playing ODIs here, you are playing T20s and you have less balls.
Yeah. I am again going to be the one who is going to have a different view here. I mean, I'm talking about the changes that are possible for CSK. What happened is that the last match and the RR also, CSK only have three people in their lineup who cannot battle. So they had Piyush Chawla, Deepak Chahar and Josh Hazelwood who did not come out to bat against DC. And I think they are the only one. Otherwise, everybody else either are batters or are all-rounders. So I think they have eight people who can bat. I think this is where they can actually take out one batsman and probably bring in one bowler, and that is Tahir. I'll say why Tahir, because he will bring in leadership to that bowling lineup. And as we discussed, obviously batting is a bigger headache here, but you can always strengthen your bowling. I mean, CSK has always been a team which has played on its own strength and then have tried to win matches in that way. And so why not, if your batting is that weak, why not probably strengthen your bowling and at least start restricting teams to a low total and then probably try to chase it. So that is one thing. Tahir would obviously bring in leadership, but how, for whom do you bring in? So here I would say probably maybe this time you can look at dropping Watson, and that means Murali Vijay also goes out. You can have Gaikwad and Sam Curran opening. The thing is, Ruturaj Gaikwad is an opener. If you have to play him, you have to play him as an opener. You can't play him at number four. I mean, he's not made for that, at least from what we have seen in these two games. And not only that, I mean, he's a young guy. You got to play him in his position and then expect the best from him. So I think him, Karan, people like him who can give you good start, and then you can have Duplessis, then you can have Raidu, and then you can have Dhoni. As both of you said, Dhoni at number five, I think, is going to be the best. And then we can have Ravindra Jadeja, and we can have Kedar Jadhav. If he continues to play, then we will have Kedar Jadhav also, and then we will have our bowlers. I think this will give them more youth also. This will give them more energy also, and probably the players who are maybe, let's say, in the best form, the so-called best form. Nobody is in best form, but probably are in their best capability to perform. That's my idea. I mean, you guys are always welcome to shoot down if there is anything that you like.
I think it's one team that over which we can go on and on, because when they do well, there's enough to talk about. When they don't do well, there's still to talk about.
Yeah, but I believe you know Dhoni of old used to also do well with lack of resources. Also, he has won World Cups with you know not that great squad. I believe in this lack of resources. That's where man management and everything, you know, all the captaincy leadership skills comes to play. I think the one good thing that CSK have, despite not having Rainas and Harvind, is that they have Dhoni. Let's see how he copes up with these challenges in the games to come.
My last I promise this is my last bit on CSK. I would like to say that all their batsmen seem to be of the same mold. All of them take 10-12 balls to get going and then they start hitting. And you can't have a T20 side with that kind of dimension, unidimensional people, or all their top order, even lower middle order. If you just work around the batting order, you get the same kind of batsmen. And it's just one odd Sam Curran would hit a couple of sixes and then get out. That doesn't help. So, I mean, I don't know where are they headed. It was a concern a couple of years back also when people started calling them Dad's Army, but then they made it 2-2 finals, won one of them. So nobody bothered. But I guess after this IPL, they must have a good hard look at the squad.
Yeah,
I think the time has come. But maybe, and if they do take a hard look, and they would probably want to add more young players. And talking about young players, we have Delhi Capitals at the top of the table. Do we have Delhiites here?
We have a couple of them. I don't know if Shashi wants to call him a Delhiite.
So we have Delhi Capitals on the top of the table. But actually, if you look at the table has Delhi Capitals, Rajasthan Royals and Kings XI Punjab. 1, 2, 3. That is like all the underdogs taking up the top three position. I mean, IPL organizer would be very happy that at least UAE mein jaakar kismat palat gayi hai kuch teamo ki. They are there on the top because they have obviously won matches, but it is a good thing for the league also that you have these teams doing good. And sticking to Delhi Capitals here, I mean... first game, okay, we can say whatever happened. I mean, it went into a super over. They probably would not have won it if not for Stoinis had scored that 50 in the first innings, and then KXIP probably would have chased it down, but whatever. But the second game, they were pretty professional. Shaw made good runs, others pitched in, and then they finished off the match pretty well. So, Delhi Capitals are looking very good. Next week, they have two games against SRH and KKR. So, they have an opportunity that they can win two more games. And if they are, let's say, 4 wins in 4, then it's going to be fantastic for them. And the playoffs, doors would be very close to them. So, bringing in Shantanu here, very happy how Delhi Capitals are shaping up and thinking they can continue this.
I'm pleasantly surprised. And but yeah, I'm quite happy also because it's always good to see a young leader emerging. And for far too long, Delhi Capitals, and when they were Delhi Daredevils, they always had a decent squad, but somehow they never got going. I remember they had Gambhir and Sehwag at one stage. They had McGrath at one stage, but they never had the formula to win. But you know, with this, I think with this rejig of the squad that they had a couple of years back, they got a new captain. I think things are finally falling into place. It was last season that they made into the playoffs, I think, for the first time, if I'm not mistaken. So things looking good. Shreyas Iyer, and what I like about him is, you know, after his good IPL season, and he came to the Indian squad and he started scoring runs. So I guess the confidence that he had from his leadership and, you know, him taking Delhi Capitals to last four, it must have something to do with his India form. He's now cemented, at least for now, cemented his place as the number four. So things looking good overall for the captain, and it obviously runs down. And Prithvi Shaw, we all know what he's capable of. It was so nice to see him scoring. And yeah, I was also pretty impressed with the spinners in that game against... I don't know, but I just forget. Which was the last one that Delhi Capitals played?
CSK.
Yeah. So Akshar Patel and Amit Mishra. These two guys. I mean, Amit Mishra, of course, is is an IPL legend. But it was surprising and refreshing to see Akshar Patel actually tossing the ball up and slowing down his pace.
So we don't normally associate Akshar with all that kind of stuff because he's more like a Ravindra Jadeja bowler, balls at 90, 95. And to see him slow down his bowling and, you know, apply his brains. So happy signs overall. And then, of course, they have two South African quicks in Rabada and Notre. Both of them bowl quick and good lengths, hard lengths. So, yeah, I would say that this is increasingly looking a team to beat.
Shubham, if I have to ask you, I mean he spoke about Shantanu spoke about what is good about the team, but are there any area of concerns for you, or do you think they are pretty much a complete squad and it's not much to work on?
I won't be able to speak about the area of concern because they have played very well. Both the games, even in that super over game also, really. But you know, Dhawan and Prithvi Shaw didn't do well, but they came back and performed well in the second game. Dhawan hitting 27 or 35 balls. I mean, it's okay. I mean, he got some runs, and Shaw also showed some sort of a bite in his game in the second innings. So I really won't be able to speak, but I think the one area of concern that has been in the Shantanu also spoke about is the consistency which that they lack. I mean, sometimes they did make it to the playoffs, but you know, when the big games come, they lose against the big teams. Also, they sometimes crack under pressure, not able to finish the games under pressure. So I think that is that should be on Ponting's mind. I think winning those moments. I think, and you know, in the last two games, if you could see, if you must have seen that they have been able to win those crunch moments against Kings XI also, and against Chennai again. I mean, they were winning those because when they lost wickets, you know, Pant and Iyer, they made sure that they did not self-implode or self-explode in the middle innings, because that usually happens, that they are 60 for 0 and then they are 84 for 4. You know, that sort of damage happens in the middle overs to them. So I hope that, you know, these phases are won for Delhi, and they'll be able to, you know, maintain the good run that they have. I think that is the only area of concern. Team-wise, I don't think so. Maybe Shimran Hetmeyer is one thing. I think he needs some runs under his belt. So I think that is the only concern I can see.
If I can add to that, I think Hetmeyer needs to improve his catching.
And his fielding.
yeah, his fielding and his catching. But when the tournament was about to start, and DC did very well last season also, they went to the playoffs. So I was pretty sure that they will do good again this season also. My area of concern for them was definitely that finisher's role, because they have batsmen, a very good batsmen, obviously Indian, and some very good overseas exports also. But they don't really have somebody who is a proven finisher. I mean, Stoinis is coming after scoring some 705 runs, record I think in BBL. But he scored that from the opening position. So a good thing that has happened for them is Stoinis scoring that 50 from that, I don't know, fifth position, I think batting fifth or sixth in that first game. So if that thing gets sorted, then as Shantanu said, they have a pretty good bowling also, and Enric Nautier is doing very good. Kagiso Rabada, we know how good he is, because last season also, I think he was the highest wicket taker. Right now also, he is the purple cap holder. And then they have a heavy Indian batting order, heavy top Indian batting order. So that way, I think, they are pretty sorted. Maybe finisher's role is the only that I will still go with. I mean, there has to be consistency from Stoinis or Hetmeyer if he drops down. So if that thing is sorted, I think they will continue to do good. But then there is one team which is not doing good, and that is SRH. So far, they are the only team which has not managed to win a single game. So they have 0 points and they sit at the bottom of the table. Now, zero ke saath niche hi baithoge, lekin ye expected nahi tha SRH. I mean, SRH consistent team rahe hai. They may only have won the title once, but they have been pretty consistent. And especially Warner hai aapke paas, jo ki IPL ka best overseas batsman hai, aur Bairstow hai, jo Warner aur Bairstow ne itni tagdi batting kari thi last time mein. So दोनों के दोनों हार जाएंगे ये तो नहीं किसी से सोचा होगा, शायद इतनी बुरी उनकी स्टार्ट होगी. बट व्हाट हैज अपियर्ड मीन स्टार्कली इज दैट देयर मिडिल ऑर्डर इज डेफिनेटली नॉट क्लिकिंग. आई मीन दे आर अ वेरी टॉप हेवी टीम एंड ऑन पेपर ऑल्सो एंड ऑन पिच ऑल्सो. आई मीन शुरू के लोगों ने रन बनाए तो बनाए, नहीं बनाए तो नहीं बनाए. और इनमें मुझे कुछ खास ऑप्शन का भी पता नहीं चल रहा है कि ये इस चीज को प्रॉब्लम को सॉल्व करे भी तो कैसे करे. केन विलियमसन एक अकेला ऑप्शन लग रहा है जो थोड़ा बाहर में है, बट उसे भी लाए भी तो कैसे भी अंदर लेकर आए, क्योंकि दे ऑलरेडी हैव टू बैट्समैन बैटिंग एट द टॉप हु आर ओवरसीज बैट्समैन एंड देन दे हैव नबी. इन लास्ट मैच दे हैड नबी एंड एंड देन दे हैव राशिद खान. सो दे डोंट रियली हैव स्पेस ऑल्सो टू ब्रिंग इन केन विलियमसन. Or should they, is it a must to bring in cleanliness? And so that is where I want to know what Shubham thinks on this. I mean, how can they improve this middle order muddle? Because they seem to be in a lot of problem. Because it's as the two games have shown, the top order is not going to fire always.
Yeah, I think in the first game, I think what is important is they're 4 and 5, because I think Manish Pandey is playing fine enough. I mean, he's not, I mean, strike rate is an issue for him, but it's not that he's completely out of sorts. So I think the first game they played Priyam Garg and Vijay Shankar, and they failed. And then they had Abhishek Sharma. So their middle order was very inexperienced. And with Mitchell Marsh getting injured, I think they were always on the back foot from the start. So I think they have to use their T20 specialist intelligently here. And I don't know why, because of the change of guard in coaching or something, why Nabi is not being used that well. I mean, in the last match also, he came, did he come to bat also? I can't even
Yeah,
remember. He did
he
come to
came
bat, but
towards
he
the end.
came late. Yeah, he came towards the end, and Rashid Khan did not even come to bat. I think these are your T20 specialists. I know Rashid Khan is known for his 6-ball, 7-ball innings where he's hit 21 runs, 22 runs. He's that sort of innings, and you're sending Abhishek Sharma ahead of him. Even if Abhishek Sharma played those 3 balls, he made just one run. Rashid could have made 10, 12. I think these are small margins that they have to work about. I think if they don't have any option, they have to push Nabi up. Because Nabi is a good T20 hitter. He again, takes time, and then when he starts connecting, he starts doing well. I don't think so. They have to change so much in their playing 11. As you said, there is not much that they can change also by default. They just have to stick to this playing 11. They just have to regroup, and try to work on their weaknesses. For example, in the last match, their fielding was the worst fielding display in this IPL so far. They were dropping catches. They were very rusty in the field. I think those are some small areas which affect the results. I think that has happened with them in the last 2 games. I think Bhuvi has bowled well. He hasn't bowled. He hasn't done exceptionally well, but he hasn't done that poorly also. That it's a major area, a major concern for them. But yes, I mean, those some batting order changes, doing well in the field, and I don't think so. They should do major changes in their playing 11. Bringing in Kane Williamson is not possible, as you said. I mean, you can't drop Nabi and Rashid Khan. They are T20 specialists, and Johnny Bairstow did score. I think it started off as a 50, right?
Yeah.
David Warner is a captain, so I don't think so. Williamson can come back. It's difficult to make a place for him, and it's a bit unfortunate also that a batsman of his stature, who's a very good T20 batsman as well. He was a top run getter in 20, I think 18 edition for Sunrisers, and he was leading. So I think these are some points that need to take care of.
Yeah, Shantanu, do you have a different opinion, and do you want to see Williamson in that side?
Yeah, I have a slightly different opinion here. I would like to see Williamson in top three, and best of order, of course, number three, Williamson, and then either one of either of Rashid Khan or Mohammad Nabi, depending on the pitch. Because I say this because when I look at SRH's middle order and I look at CSK's middle order, I see the same set of problems in both the teams. A unidimensional batting order, and the inability to hit out the absence of multifaceted batsmen,
Like Shubham said, Manish Pandey hasn't done much wrong. But the issue with 100, 120 strike rate is you put a lot of pressure on your bowlers in the second innings and also on your lower middle order, which you really don't have. So Vijay Shankar and Manish Pandey, they are not exactly known for hitting big. I'm hitting from, you know, ball 1 to ball 10. So I would say they need to get in Williamson because he's one of those guys who has scored in every condition, who is, like Shubham mentioned, is a very good T20 batsman also. And a very safe number 3, you know, even if the first wicket goes down early, he is somebody who can bat till the 18th or the 19th over. And of course, he will add to the brain trust of the team also in the leadership group. So, and I would suggest that they need to have an overseas top 3 in Bairstow, Warner, Williamson. Manish Pandey can come in at 4. In bowling, I think Bhubaneswar, I haven't really seen him bowling those wide Yorkers that he developed over the last couple of seasons. So I don't know why, if he's still rusty or not confident enough to try those Yorkers, I'm not sure. But yeah, a bowler of his quality, I think, will come back. But, you know, frankly, I can't blame Sandeep Sharma or Bhubaneswar much. It's just that a lot of small factors seem to have combined to, you know, put them at 0 points at this stage.
Yeah, I kind of agree with both of you. But what I think is that, I mean, as much as I love Williamson, I also think it is very difficult to bring him into the side at this moment because you already have Warner, Bairstow, and if Williamson comes in, then you have to sacrifice Nabi. And then you are going to fall short on that one bowling option. And Nabi is a very, very good T20 bowler. I mean, he not only gets wicket, but he is also very pretty economical also. And with Williamson, the thing is that Williamson also comes in and then takes that number 3 slot. And then again, you go back to that being top heavy. So I am leaning more towards Shubham's side, where I think is that obviously, Vijay Shankar would come back now that, I mean, he had some problem, David Warner said, in the previous match. That's why he didn't play. So, Shankar would come back, who scored some 200, 250 runs, I think, last season for them. So, they would want that 250 runs from Shankar again. And then they will have Nabi, who is a proven T20 player. And I think if they get there, maybe they can't really change much. I mean, that's my opinion also. They just need to get the best out of their players. I mean, they have brought in Jason Holder as a replacement for Mitch Marsh, but then again, that also, he also doesn't add much actually. In that, I mean, comparison to him, I think Nabi is a better option in any case.
And so, strangely, both SRH and CSK, they have done so well over the past few years, and the core is intact. And now we see collectively that core is misfiring, and hence the teams are not doing well overall.
So one thing with SRH that we have seen in IPL is that they have also defended low targets, low totals also pretty well. I think so. That is something. I mean, if they can actually improve their bowling a little, maybe then they won't really be worrying so much about their middle order. I mean, obviously, their middle order has to fire. But sooner or later, I'm sure Bairstow and Warner would start contributing together. And then they would have some good totals. Maybe, again, probably they have to look at their bowling and maybe just try to see if they can better in that area. And probably they will win more matches there.
Yeah, I think for the same reason only, dropping Nabi, you know, isn't a great idea. Because, you know, defending a total, Nabi is someone who really bowls those dots, you know. He's not a huge wicket taker. He won't end with 2 or 3 wickets, but he will give you, 25 for no loss sort of figures every game. And I think the reason that they did well was Bhuvi was in those additions, what is prime, as Shantanu said, bowling those wide Yorkers, you know, bowling in the hole as well, those knuckle balls. I think he's been on and off the Indian team also, but he hasn't played cricket for a very consistently. Ek saath lagatar matches Bhuvi nahi khel raha hai. Test matches mein bhi usko nahi milta hai. Toh thoda sa on and off rehta hai. Injury bhi usko beech mein hua. So I think he's little rusty coming in, but he's still done well. So we are not seeing the old Bhuvi that we used to see, that T20 bowler. And, you know, with Rashid also. So I think they need to use, their bowling is still one of the best bowling units in the IPL. They just need to, you know, bring maybe Nabi before in the power play overs before six overs, you know, and give and hold Rashid like for the later overs. And I think that can work for them if they want to bring in Kane Williamson. I only see one way out. I won't drop Nabi. I would take this brave call of taking dropping Bairstow and asking Saha to open, because Saha has done fairly well at the top while opening the innings, and ask Williamson to bat at three. But as I said, I don't see these many changes. I don't see them bringing. I mean, they don't guarantee a good run. Also, they just need to regroup and play well. I think so. They haven't played well as a group. They haven't done collectively well as a batting, bowling, and fielding unit. I think that is their area of concern. I think, and that is a huge area of concern.
Yeah. So that is it with our coverage of the teams. We will be getting into some individual performances. Obviously, every team played a match, but we cannot really talk about all the teams and all. We picked the most important teams that are going through some sort of struggle or performing very well, so as to bring you the most important perspective from the IPL. We have had some great innings and great performances over the past week. And obviously, we had KL Rahul smashing that 132 and becoming scoring that highest IPL score for an Indian batsman. And then we had Samson scoring run today also. Samson scoring that beautiful 74 against CSK. We had Mayank Agarwal scoring a century today. But we are going to talk about the young performers right now, because we also have some great young players. I mean, not only great performances, but they are fearless also in the way they are approaching and the way they are playing against the best players from the world. I mean, we have seen Padikkal for RCB scoring that 50 in that Yuvraj's K style. Ravi Bishnoi, obviously, for Kings 11 Punjab, taking wickets, being brave, tossing up the ball, the googlies. Shivam Mavi doing very well. Shubman Gill scoring that half century for KKR the other night in KKR's win. Prithvi Shaw scoring that half century. So we are spoiled for choices. I mean, Indian cricket is spoiled for choices, and IPL is a platform where that is being highlighted how rich the Indian cricket is right now. I mean, Indian cricket is right now. So I will start with Shantanu. I mean, yeah. Who has impressed you the most? Maybe the particles and all that were completely unknown, or maybe it is Shaw and Gill, whom you know from before. And if you have to back one of them to end up as one of the best performers, who would you go for?
Well, I'm a big fan of Shubman Gill. I have been for a couple of years now. And, I watched him bat in the Under-19 World Cup, like all of us. And you know, I've had the pleasure of speaking to him also on quite a few occasions. So he comes across as a very level-headed guy for his age. And thing is, like all these youngsters, he has immense respect for the game. And he's so focused, all of them are so focused and so... And you look at these guys, they hit huge sixes, but they always hit straight down the ground. You don't really see them going across the line on straight balls. So that is the reason they stay unbeaten more often than not. That is the reason they have higher averages and they clear the grounds. So I mean, I'm really very pleased. And and even Rituraj Gaikwad is a very good batsman. He is not fired, but I'm sure if he gets enough opportunities and a decent run, he will come good also. So, like you said, Indian cricket is fortunate to have these guys. And Sanju Samson, I mean, I don't know what happens to him in IPLs. I still remember a couple of years, 3 years back, I think in 2017, he and Rishabh Pant had that partnership for then Delhi Daredevils. And I mean, just an amazing player who needs to get into the Indian team at some stage.
Shubham, who has impressed you the most, and whom are you going to back for, let's say, being one of the top performers this season?
Like, I've been impressed by everyone. I mean, but particularly Padikkal and Bishnoi, because of, I mean, you always like to see, a left-handed batsman batting that well. You know, as we said earlier that Yuvraj Singh's sort of, attitude in playing his shots. And Bishnoi also, the way he's balled, he's a large-hearted bowler. He likes to toss the ball, he's not afraid, and really impressed by him. I think these are very, some really good T20 heads that are going to, because as a result of IPL and also because T20 format is now old and India has been late catching up with it, in terms of our players getting used to T20 sort of thinking. So I think the future of India's T20 cricket is safe with all these players coming in and doing so well in the formats, and they are all very attacking in their approach. And also, with Prithvi Shaw coming good in the last game and saying that this time he was trying to hit, more grounded strokes, so there's more thinking involved in T20 batting as well. It's not just about, going there and slashing around, thinking that going overboard with that natural games thing. And Shubman Gill also realizing that it has to be the target has to be chased down, and so with 2-3 wickets down, let's anchor this inning. So those sort of thinking, we should be attacking. I think it's a good sign for the cricket. So yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much impressed. But as I said, I mean, he's not a youngster anymore. But Sanju Samsung, it's a huge disappointment for me. I just feel that he's like Pandya. And KL Rahul, these are our T20 people, and they have to play. They have to be in the team, even if it comes at cost of dropping some veterans, ODI veterans. I just feel that India needs to think that, and it's ironical because we have, they call it the best league in the world, and the Indian players play in it, but you don't really take the talent that comes out of it and fit it in the national scheme of things. So it's a bit ironical also, and it's unfortunate. I think it's a time has come with the T20 World Cup up next that Sanju Samson gets a long run in the team, even if he fails, because it's that sort of a format that if a player fails, it doesn't mean you drop them. You back them because they know the format, they know this, they know the thinking behind it. So yeah.
And strangely, our second 11 international T20 side looks better than the first 11.
Absolutely.
That is because of these guys who know T20 games so well inside out, and they appear so ready. If you look at Shubman Gill, he was so skinny last time round, and this time he seems to have packed some muscles in his game, as his fitness, his game and everything. And not just him, look at the other guys also, even the bowlers, leg spinner Ravi Bishnoi. I think they all look ready. And if you look at the Indian team, barring KL Rahul and Hardik Pandya, who do you think can hit sixes at will? I don't think of many names there. Maybe Rishabh Pant at times, but he doesn't play T20s that often. He doesn't play in Indian team that often. So, like Shubham said, I think the time is there to, whenever the international cricket starts, these guys should be given a look in, and we need some restructuring. I guess that is a podcast for another day. But yeah, these guys look ready.
Yeah. I mean, as Shubham said and you said, I mean, obviously we are impressed with all these players. If I have to just bring in another name into it, I mean, I spoke about him, I mean, when I was making the introduction. Obviously, I was very happy to see Shivam Mavi, because as Shantanu said, he has spoken to Gill. I have also spoken to Mavi on a couple of occasions, and we know how impressive he was in that Under-19 World Cup 2 years back. And for pace bowlers, especially, it becomes very difficult if you have injuries, back injuries, to make that comeback and to do well. And he did pretty well in that first game against Mumbai Indians, especially when Pat Cummins was going for all those runs. And to see Mavi standing up and taking wickets and bowling pretty decent. So I was very happy to see. And then we had Nagarkoti in KKR's second game against SRH. So it's really great to see. And it's also very great to see KKR backing two of their Indian paces, young Indian paces. I think first day when they saw ki Mavi kar pa raha hai, to Nagarkoti ko bhi ab laga dete, wo bhi kar lega. Sandeep Ariyar ki jarurat nahi hai hame.
Nagarkoti missed their first two seasons because of injury, and credit to the franchisee, they stuck with him. Yeah. And the first ball he bowled in the in IPL was 144. So this guy has natural pace, and I'm sure he's working at his skills and at his physique in the NCA. And there will be a time when we'll have these kind of guys in the Indian team who have natural pace. And even in the Under-19 World Cup, we saw these two guys generating enough pace. There were some memes and some chatter going around about Shiva Mavi's real age. But yeah, but even if you ignore that for a moment,
the pace, the sheer pace that these two guys generate, and for a change, Shivam Avi had better control also this time round. So yeah, it's not just the batting that India is known for; the bowlers are coming through as well.
Yeah. I think this next game that we have, DC versus KKR, is going to be a very interesting one with Mavi and Agarkoti bowling at Prithvi Shaw.
Yeah.
And, you know, these two are also my two favorite teams in terms of the squad. I mean, I really love the squad, so it will be a very good contest.
So, KKR's next game is against Rajasthan Royals, actually. And okay, I got it. So you spoke about the schedule, and we will get into the schedule, because now we will look forward to the next week, and then we will wrap up the show. I hope you guys have the calendar in front of you. I will first give some of my opinions. So we have SRH playing three times next week. SRH is actually playing against DC, CSK, and MI. I mean, CSK, okay, with their all that is going with them, I'm not sure what will happen in that game. But then again, CSK would be making a comeback after a week's rest. So maybe they will be fit and fine for that match. And that I think will put SRH under a lot of pressure. I mean, DC, CSK and MI, they probably may end up with five losses. That the chances of that is very little. Maybe they will definitely win one of them, but then they may stay at the bottom also. And then we look at DC, and DC have a game against SRH and KKR. So they have an opportunity to win at least one definitely, and maybe two also. So they can continue to be on the top also. That's what I am making out from the next week's schedule. Do you guys, how do you see the next week's schedule, and do you guys have any, let's say, predictions or thoughts? Please continue.
I think this is a very crucial week for Sunrisers. If they're playing three games in the week, it's going to be tough playing three games in this week. And plus, they are they're already, two losses in their points table. So I think it's going to be a crucial week. If they win one of the three, I don't think so. They will like it. They'll have to win at least two of these three matches just to stay. And if they lose all three, I think it will be terrible for them. I think then they're only trying to catch up throughout the tournament, like it has happened in the case of RCB previously. I think very crucial week for Sunrisers, and
Shantanu, would you like to add anything?
Yeah, I think I'll be looking forward to two games in this week. One would be DC versus KKR, and the other is CSK SRH, strangely. Because like we discussed in this podcast earlier, these two teams have not been doing well. And these two teams, what I believe, are besotted with same kind of issues. So it will be interesting to see how they match up against each other. It will either be a very dull match, one to forget, one of those very mid-table kind of matches that we invariably forget, or it will. What my hunch is, it will pull one of these teams out of the rut and put them on the upward spiral. Second game, I said, would be DC and KKR, and part of the reasons are the individual matchups. Shivam Avi, Nagarkoti, and Shubman Gill up against Prithvi Shaw, Shreyas Iyer, Rishabh Pant. So, these are the two games that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah. So, that's it, guys.
First game forward to any game?
Yeah, so I said, not games in particular, but as I said, I'm looking forward to how SRH would do next week, because I've been a fan of SRH, plain for the reason that they have Warner and Williamson, some of the players that I like. I mean, I'm talking about exports here, and so I'm really concerned about how they have performed in the those two games, and I think it can be sort of a make or break for them. They have three matches coming up. I think MI is the only team which is playing three matches apart from SRH. So I am not much worried about MI. MI obviously a class team, but SRH, if they are not able to pick up pace, I think next week, then it could become very difficult for them, because as we have seen already, the trends this season is something very different. We have RR, KXAP and DC doing well. So you have teams which generally are not playoffs contender doing good and making headway in the beginning. So it's going to be very difficult to play catch up towards the end. But then again, it is IPL, so we never know.
So that's it,
I guess. We will wrap it up. Thank you, both of you, for joining. And to our listeners, I would say ki IPL and Pod is the name. So please remember the name. And Monday, we will come to you every Monday. So, and it will be available, as I said, on Audio Boom, Google Podcasts, Spotify. And so we will be bringing this whole wrap every week on Monday. And we will be bringing in some great discussions, predictions. And yeah, so thank you very much for to all of you.
If you have any feedback, you can obviously, find us on Twitter. First Post Sports is there on Twitter.
That's it. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye, guys. Bye.